It is Monday morning. Once again, we talk with NHPR's Josh Rogers to discuss developments on New Hampshire's political front. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
Josh, let's start with presidential politics. Mitt Romney will not make a third run for president. What was more surprising for you, that he ended up saying no, or that he was thinking of running at all?
You know, it's hard to say. One thing is that Mitt Romney's exit remarks on the conference call he made carried kind of a mixed message for him and for the Republican Party. On the one hand, he told supporters he believed he could again be the GOP nominee, and he cited polls that showed him leading fellow Republicans in early voting states. But Romney also admitted he might struggle in a general election. A lot of the postmortems indicate his decision was informed by the fact that some big-time Republican donors who supported him last time weren't so hot on him giving it another go and are perhaps looking for somebody new, maybe Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
Now, Romney basically made New Hampshire his political home base in 2012. He won the primary easily here. With him out, how much does it change things here in the Granite State?
Well, Republican activists I've talked to, including people who love Mitt Romney and people who decidedly don't, they seem to agree that with him out, New Hampshire is really wide open. Of course, you could argue that's the case in any race that's about a year off. And while average voters aren't going to be tuning in for months, candidates up and down the food chain are certainly starting to show up to try to get their attention. Ambassador John Bolton, who suggests he's looking at a run, was going to be here this morning. Snow canceled that. Mm-hmm. Former governor of New York, George Pataki, who also claims to be thinking about it, is supposed to be here tomorrow. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry is going to return next week. So will Carly Fiorina, ex-Hewlett-Packard CEO, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Rand Paul, of course, has been here a lot. When Jeb Bush shows up isn't yet clear. The state Republican Party will hold a cattle call-style forum for candidates in April. It's billing that as the official kickoff of the New Hampshire primary, but the primary is already on.
Yeah, and it's a huge list on the Republican side, but much less action on the Democratic side. We're basically just waiting for Hillary Clinton at this point, aren't we?
Well, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Martin O'Malley of Maryland have been here a bunch. The draft Elizabeth Warren folks are out there, too. But yes, Hillary Clinton's support, or the sense that she's inevitable, at least among the Democratic activist class, is vast. And it's really hard to see that changing anytime soon.
OK, let's talk about the State House for a minute. Two bills before the House Ways and Means Committee today, or they should be up for today. Look at business taxes, broadening them, per se.
Yes, Rick. One, sponsored by Republican David Hess, seeks to drop the rate of the business enterprise tax, but extend that levy to large nonprofits, hospitals and colleges. Hess proposed this last year. Hospitals were dead set against it, and they certainly will be this time, too. The other measure proposed by Democrat Richard Ames seeks to apply the interest and dividends tax to trusts and to capital gains, among other things. That bill's a definite long shot, but like Hess's BET bill, this will prompt a meaningful debate of state tax policy.
And tomorrow, education funding?
Yes. The issue, as it tends to be on this topic, is whether the current formula, which has been on the books for 4 years now, still doles out the money fairly, or at least as envisioned. There's growing evidence that it may not. It boils down to two issues. That the law on the books sought to avert communities seeing dramatic swings in funding year to year. And so what that law did is it set what amounted to a funding floor and ceiling for districts. The floor guaranteed no community would get less what it received in 2011. The ceiling made sure communities could receive no more than 8% of what that community received the previous year in adequacy aid. But neither cap nor ceiling factored in changes to school districts' population, which is how adjusting aid is doled out. So districts where populations have dropped are now getting more than their share, and districts where populations have grown more than 8% a year are getting less. Overall, enrollment in New Hampshire schools is down a bit, but some towns have seen spikes. This bipartisan bill, whose lead sponsor is Republican David Bates, aims to get every community that's been underfunded back up to 100%. Doing so will, of course, take money from districts that are now getting more than full adequacy payments. So, here we go again.
Yeah, right. One more time around. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That is Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition often to talk politics. And you can follow Josh, by the way, on Twitter at Josh Rogers, NHPR.